Shall we pray? Father in heaven, almighty God, we thank thee that thou art almighty. We thank thee, Father God, that everything about thee is almighty, especially thy love to the human race, especially thy love to us few gathered in here this evening. We thank thee, Father God, for the gift of salvation that comes through thy loving tender mercy. We ask now, Father in heaven, for thy gracious help, Lord. We can do nothing without thee, Lord. Oh, gracious God, Father in heaven, we thank thee that faith, as small as a mustard seed, can move mountains. This is the faith we desire this evening, Father. But not just this evening, Father, for the rest of the week, and the rest of the month, and the rest of our lives. Oh, gracious God, make this so, in Christ's precious name. Amen. Our reading tonight is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading from the Authorized Version. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I laboured more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his holy, infallible, unchangeable word. Tonight, this evening, we're going to look at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to look at the why he had to come into this world. We're going to look at who he is. Who is he? And then we're going to look at what he did for the human race, what he did for the like of you and I. The power of Christ. This is what we're looking at this evening. But firstly, we have to look at how sin was brought into this world. How was sin brought into this world? We have to turn to Genesis, don't we? Genesis chapter 3. And in verse 3 we are told, well, in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. This was how this world fell. We now live in a fallen world because of original sin, because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Now, if we look at Psalm 51. Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We are born into sin. There is nothing we can do about that. We are born sinners. Our nature is sinful. Our nature is at enmity with Almighty God. And we need to be reminded of this as Christians sometimes, because quite often we forget these things. That's why the Lord orders us to take the Lord's Supper regular, because we forget these things. Because of our nature. There is two natures within us. There is the sinful nature, and there is the new nature, the Holy Spirit. So we are born into sin. That means every human being that has ever been born through natural conception has sinned. And to prove what I've just said, we can look at the scriptures again, can't we? Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. There is nothing we can do about it. And Romans 6, verse 23 tells us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're all sinners. We need a saviour. We need salvation. Where is that salvation coming from if we do not believe in God? Where is that salvation coming from if we believe in a false God? A God of our imagination, as the atheists believe. They say there is no God, but they've all created their own gods in their imagination. The gods of football, the gods of music, the god of materialism. Human beings must worship. We were created to worship Almighty God. But in sin, we quite often worship the wrong thing. And I will say, even as Christians, we can worship the wrong thing if we are not careful with what we are doing in our lives, with what we are looking at. The mass media. The sin on the mass media, that it leads people into sin. It teaches people the ways of sin. And it's getting worse and worse and worse as the mass media. But we are all sinners, all of us. Therefore, each and every one of us deserves the penalty of death. And each and every one of us deserves the penalty of damnation. Each and every one of us. None of us can get out of that. We are all sinners, and we all deserve God's eternal wrath. All of us deserve God's eternal wrath. Did you actually know that? I'm sure we knew it in our heads. But what about here? What about in the heart? Do we know that in the heart? Do we believe this with all our hearts? Do we? Where are we going in our lives? Are we looking to the Lord or are we looking to the world? We are constantly fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Constantly fighting against it. So what can we do? What can I do? What can you do? I'm sorry to say, but there's nothing we can do. There is absolutely nothing we can do to inherit salvation with God. There is nothing you and I can do. Absolutely nothing. So what do we do? What do we do with our sin? Where do we take our sin? Well, we need to look at the who. We need to look at the who. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. Do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts? There are many people out there in the world say they are Christians and know nothing about the Word of God, know nothing about the way of salvation, know nothing about the cross of Calvary. They know nothing about God. The question I have for each and every one of us in here tonight, self included, are we like this? Are we like this? Or do we have that living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's why he came down, so that man could form a relationship with God. He came down to reconcile us to the Father. That's why Jesus came. Romans 5. Verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciliation with God. That's what we have if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we truly believe in him as our Lord and Savior? Do we? If we are, what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? Are we learning about him in his precious word? Are we coming to him in prayer as he communicates with us through his word? Are we coming to church to learn of his wonderful ways in the preaching of the word of God? Are we coming to listen to Ian every week? With a desire to learn more of God, with a desire to learn more of Christ Jesus, with a desire to learn more of what Christ Jesus has done for each and every one of us in here. Are we? Is that why we are coming here? The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God who became the Son of Man. He came down here to live that life of holiness and perfection, that life of righteousness that you and I cannot lead. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the wonderful attributes? And we can look at some of these, can't we? And the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. the wonderful attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ in Galatians 5. And I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ was full of these without measure. You or I may have one or two of them, or three or four of them, but we don't ever have all of them at the same time, in the way the Lord Jesus Christ had. He was God. He was the God-man. And his nature was perfect and holy. Let's just have a look at his wonderful nature. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And the Lord Jesus knows all about long-suffering. He's suffering in heaven now. Every time we commit a sin, even though he's forgiven us, we are still fighting that old nature. And we should be becoming more Christ-like. We should have more of these qualities within our lives. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. There is no law against any of these things. These are the qualities, these are the characteristics of a wonderful God, a holy God, a just God, a righteous God. Is he the God we believe in this evening? Is he? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ to you this evening? Who is it? You don't need to answer me. We all know in our own hearts, in our own minds, who the Lord Jesus is. The Word of God is challenging. Every time we read it, it should challenge us. We shouldn't just read it like we're reading a novel and just put it down and forget about it. This is the Holy Bible, the Word of God. How many of us have told lies here? Each and every one of us. Romans 3, verse 4. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. What about the what's? What has God done for you and I? What has he done for us? God sent his son down here to be born of a virgin. Sinless and holy as a baby. As human beings, we are born in sin. Psalm 51, verse 5, as I read earlier, Jesus Christ was conceived through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. There was no sin within him. No sin within him. And when he had brothers and sisters, I can't imagine what it would have been like growing up with Jesus, who was perfect and holy. I'm pretty sure that would have made his half-brothers jealous. Because human beings have a natural propensity to sin, especially as children. But as children, we can be kept in check. And that's what's wrong with this society today. Children are not being kept in check. That's what one of the big problems is. And that is because of the breakdown of a family institution. Children are growing up with a stepmom or a stepdad or in a single parent home. And to a point, in a humanistic way, from a human point of view, you can see why children grow up the way they grow up. There's very little love in homes in this country. And that is one of the reasons children behave as they do. But we are all sinners. And that sin, when unchecked, leads to the breaking of the Ten Commandments. It leads to the breaking of the Ten Commandments. So what is it Jesus has done for us? What is it he's done for us? Well, he was born into the human race. God became something he never was. He became a human being. He became a baby. He grew up. He grew into a toddler. He grew into a boy. He grew into a youth. He grew into a man. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. He grew up as a human being, but sinless. He was sinless. And because he was sinless, because he lived a life that was pure and righteous, because, in fact, if we look at Matthew chapter 5, Jesus here says in verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." How many of us in here are hungering after righteousness, thirsting after righteousness? How many of us in here? "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Are we showing mercy to other human beings when they wrong us? Are we showing mercy towards our families when they wrong us? "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Has this ever happened to us? Do people call us names? Do people ridicule us because we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they? Verse 12 tells us, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." The Lord Jesus Christ had all of them qualities without measure. He was full of the Holy Spirit without measure. With me, the Holy Spirit is up and down like a yo-yo. I want more of the Spirit of God within me. I need more of the Spirit of God within me, because I want to do what the Lord wants me to do in my life. Is that our desire this evening? No matter how old we are, have we got the desire to do what God wants us to do? He wants us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Let us now turn to the cross of Calvary. In our reading, verse 3, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul had received this when he was going to Damascus to persecute Christians. That's where he was going when he received this. The Lord Jesus met him. And then Paul goes on to say how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ died for your sins. Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures. He suffered. He bled. He died upon that cross. But he was scourged beforehand. He was scourged beforehand. And that was like a cat of nine tails on a rod. And they were just with his back. And they were supposed to do 40 minus one. But the Romans loved to inflict pain. And I'm sure with anybody that thought there was somebody, they would do a lot more than 39. Jesus could hardly walk to the cross. And he had to carry the cross, didn't he? The cross of Calvary. He had to carry the cross of Calvary. He had to carry it. And Simon of Cyrene was asked to carry the cross because Jesus was so weak in his physical body because of the scourging he'd taken. And then they got to Calvary. The cross was laid out flat. The cross was laid out flat. Jesus was laid upon that cross. What happened? One hand was nailed to the cross. Blood came gushing forth. The other hand was nailed to the cross. Blood came gushing forth. Both his feet were nailed to the cross. Blood came gushing forth. The blood of God's only Son. And that is the cleansing power that cleanses us from all sin. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You can have your sins washed away this evening. You can have all your sins cleansed this evening. Just believe. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This is what the Bible tells us. Acts tells us this. The book of Acts. The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16 verses 30 and 31. The Lord Jesus Christ, the cross was lifted, wasn't it? The cross of Calvary was lifted and the Lord Jesus Christ there as he was suffering. As he was bleeding, as he was dying, what did he say? The people were mocking him. They were making fun of him. Come off the cross. If you be the son, if you're the Son of God, come off the cross. He helped others. He cannot help. He saved others. He cannot save himself. My friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, if the Lord Jesus Christ had have wanted to come off the cross, he had the power to do it. But he had to fulfill the scriptures. He had to pay the penalty for sin. If we look at Psalm 22, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? His Heavenly Father couldn't look at him on the cross. Why is this? Why? Because he took the sins of the world upon his shoulders. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did there. He took the sins of the world upon his shoulders. Your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. And his blood is sufficient to cleanse every human being that was ever born. But people aren't willing to believe in him. We're told to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You cannot do anything to be saved. People, Catholics, Muslims, other religions, they're trying to work their way into heaven. It cannot be done. The work was finished on Calvary. It was a finished work. Do we believe these things? Can we truly say that we believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for us? Can we say it with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul? Can we truly say these things? Corinthians 15 verse 4 says, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Death could not hold him. Death could not hold him. He did not die for his own sin. And everyone who sins deserves death. Jesus did not die for his own sin. He died for the sins of the world. As God, as the God-man, as the perfect living man, he died. He was the perfect sacrifice that we all need. The sacrificial Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the proof. We have proof. The living proof is here before us. We are told in verse 5 and the following verses that he was seen. Verse 6 tells us that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, and some of them were still living at the time of Paul writing this. So if anybody didn't believe Paul, they could go up to one of the witnesses. Today, are we witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ? You can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, just as those people who saw him die on the cross did. We can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing we can do to earn salvation. Absolutely nothing. We can't pay for it. We can't work for it. It is a finished work. The finished work of Calvary. Jesus Christ said it is finished and gave up the ghost. My friends, where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? That is a daunting, that is a frightening question for people that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. The question is he ours? If he's not, we can make sure he is by the end of the evening. Come to see me. If you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, come to see me. And I'll take somebody from the congregation. We'll discuss through the scriptures the message of salvation. We'll discuss through the scriptures how you can be saved. The most important message on the planet are the two verses there that I read. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and verse 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. We have the why, we have the who, we have the what. Now the question is, what are we going to do about it? That is the big question now. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, almighty God, we thank thee for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father God, for the life he lived. We thank thee, Father God, for the death that he died, for the sins of the world were upon his shoulders, even our sins, even my sins. Oh, what a saviour. What a wonderful saviour you provided for us, Father God. And there is nothing more powerful than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the most powerful substance on the planet. Oh, gracious God, Father in heaven, how grateful are we? How grateful are we for the precious blood of Jesus? Gracious God, bless what has been said now to each and every heart in this gathering. And Father in heaven, gracious God, be about us for good in the coming week. In his precious name. Amen.